From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where a federal evictions moratorium is set to expire at the end of this month, leaving thousands of Massachusetts renters at risk of losing their housing. For more, we turn to GBH's Tori Bedford, who's been following this story. Hey, Tori, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us more about what's going on. I mean, I've heard of folks being kicked out of their apartments in the state, even though there's a federal pause on evictions.
Yeah. So despite protections put in place to prevent non-emergency evictions during the pandemic, thousands of Massachusetts residents are already finding themselves forced out of their homes. Since Massachusetts' own eviction moratorium expired last October, landlords have filed roughly 17,000 evictions, and nearly 2,500 have already been executed, according to housing court data. That's slightly more evictions filed than during the same time period in 2019, a time period when there was no moratorium. So now, with the federal moratorium set to expire at the end of this month, housing advocates predict that this steady stream of evictions could become more like a tsunami, an explosion of people going into housing court.
Oh, that sounds awful, Tori.
Yeah, it really is about, you know, people's lives and livelihoods. And I just wanted to point out that, you know, we're talking about state moratorium, you know, federal moratorium, and also rent relief, which is really kind of getting started and getting the ball rolling with the resources that they need. So people are just feeling like, you know, here's this impending deadline and we don't have enough time. So one woman that I spoke to, a Dorchester resident, Desire Lewis, she found herself unemployed when the pandemic first hit and unable to pay rent. So she's applied for rental assistance through the Residential Assistance for Families in Transition, or RAFT program. It's a state-run homelessness prevention program. It can provide up to $10,000 to eligible applicants. Lewis has applied twice, and her applications were closed and denied both times.
On the back page of the application, it says, please do not call. You will hear from us within several weeks. Several weeks. Several weeks could mean 2 weeks to you, 3 months to me. So, you know, I'm left in limbo, and it's not fair to my landlord. It's not fair to myself. Homelessness is something serious.
And she's not alone. More than 50% of the more than 36,000 applications processed in the last year were not accepted by the state, according to data from the Massachusetts Landlords Association.
Well, seeing as the federal government is ending its eviction moratorium at the end of the month, is there anything being done at the federal level to help people like Lewis out?
So we talked a little bit about rent relief. Last March, President Joe Biden signed the American Rescue Plan, which provides about $900 million in federal funds for rent relief to Massachusetts tenants. You know, about half of that has already gone out. We're waiting for the second half now. But thousands of tenants are still waiting on those funds. I believe that in the last year, $50 million have been distributed, but, you know, there's still so many people who are waiting. The process, actually, in the beginning, the one of the organizations, Metro Housing, that was distributing the funding, they had 11 employees, and on average, it was taking 12 weeks to get an application processed. Since then, they have, you know, upped their employees to 75, and they take 4 weeks on average, but it's still really slow. It's only kind of just getting started, and there's just so many people who desperately need that money now.
And Tori, I imagine it must be even harder for folks who, say, speak English as a second language or might not speak English at all to do this.
Exactly. And I think evictions, you know, it's not just a health issue, especially during a pandemic, but it's also a race issue and an equity issue. Immigrants are disproportionately affected. Undocumented folks are. Other minority communities as well. A 2020 report from MIT showed that more than 70% of evictions in Boston occur in communities of color, affecting people like Dorchester resident Desire Lewis, who we heard from earlier. Lewis has managed to stay housed throughout all of this because her landlord, Carolyn Lomax, refuses to evict her.
Being a young Black transgender woman, one of the things that I fear every day is I'm going to have to go back to living the life that I used to live. A lot of transgender women engage in survival sex work in order to make it. And because I've been afforded the opportunity to move into this unit and have the landlord that I have, I haven't had to engage in any of that activity.
But Lewis's landlord is struggling too. She also lost her job in the pandemic, and she's owed some $56,000 in unpaid rent on the two apartment buildings she owns in Dorchester. So she's sinking deeper and deeper into mortgage debt herself.
Oh, it just goes to show what a terrible chain reaction this is. And what about state lawmakers? Are they doing anything to try and address this?
So it's really, if there's any one big takeaway from this, it's that there is a provision, an emergency provision right now in Massachusetts called Chapter 257. And it basically means that if you have applied, if you are in the process of attempting to secure rent relief, that RAF that we talked about earlier, or any kind of rent relief, you cannot be evicted. Only a judge can evict you. The state legislature voted on Tuesday to extend and reinstate that provision, also a provision requiring landlords to give tenants a notice to quit for non-payment of rent and that protected renters from eviction as long as they've applied for that rent relief. But it's important to remember that these protections don't address verbal eviction warnings or help tenants who might never make it into housing court. I spoke to attorney Joey Michalakis with Greater Boston Legal Services. He says that many tenants aren't made aware of available resources and legal protections.
A lot of tenants don't know their rights. A lot of folks, you know, before the pandemic even, you know, get a notice to quit, get scared and move out.
Michalakis and other housing advocates have championed a housing equity bill in the state legislature, the COVID-19 housing equity bill. That would prevent non-emergency evictions and foreclosures during not just the state of emergency, but the recovery period afterwards. The bill is currently before a legislative housing committee, and he basically says, Michalakis says that this would kind of, you know, make these protections work together in a system that makes more sense than relying on bits and pieces.
You know, holistically, what the COVID-19 housing equity bill does is it makes all these resources work, you know, so that a wave of housing instability doesn't complicate the end of the pandemic and, more importantly, the economic recovery for the pandemic.
So, you know, with the federal moratorium set to expire at the end of this month, we don't have a statewide moratorium, but these state protections were just reinstated after expiring. And in the meantime, you know, evictions are still being filed. So it is a very, very uncertain future for a lot of these folks.
Well, Tori, either way, I appreciate you staying on this story and joining us to talk about it.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's GBH reporter Tori Bedford. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. The CDC is issuing a warning about the Delta variant of the coronavirus. The agency says the new form is a variant of concern, citing increased infection rates and severity of symptoms. Here in Massachusetts, local public health officials say that means it's even more urgent that residents get vaccinated. Michael Curry leads the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers. He says that efforts to convince those who've been hesitant to get the vaccine are making headway.
But access is still an issue. We don't provide care to every Black and brown person. We don't provide care to every immigrant person.
A recent analysis from Boston University School of Public Health found that 14% of Black residents in the state want the vaccine, but don't have good access to it. Meantime, Governor Charlie Baker says he hopes the state's new targeted vaccination strategy will improve access. State data show that Hampden County, which includes Springfield, has one of the lowest vaccination rates in Massachusetts. Just over half of the county's residents have received at least one dose of the vaccine. Baker says he thinks the state's new $1 million lottery that's open to those who've been vaccinated could encourage more people to get their COVID shot.
And I do hope that the Vax-a-Million program encourages some of those younger folks who probably aren't that worried about COVID themselves. Their parents are vaccinated, their grandparents are vaccinated, the older folks they know are vaccinated. I hope that's the sort of thing that encourages them to get vaccinated. But we're not going to stop.
The lottery offers vaccinated adults the chance to win $1 million. Those under the age of 18 who've gotten their vaccine can win $300,000 scholarships. And finally, a Massachusetts sunglasses company is getting global attention after President Biden gave a pair of its custom aviators to Vladimir Putin. The sunglasses made by Randolph USA, which, no surprise, is based in Randolph, were gifted to Putin at this week's summit in Switzerland. Randolph company head Peter Voskovich says Biden's choice of the glasses speaks to the company's history.
I'm second generation, and we have third generation in the business, and we have employees that have been with us for 20, 30 years, and they're true craftsmen.
So, like, how do we get our hands on a pair of those aviators? Am I right? I mean, I do love to shop local. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since summer and a fly pair of shades, I'm Paris Austin. Be well. Hey there! A lot of people listen to Consider This at the end of the day, and NPR is up first in the morning. But a lot of the actual news happens in the middle of the day, and the team bringing the best information about that news as it happens is the team behind WBUR and NPR's show Here and Now. And yes, there is a podcast version. So want more of the best news reporting from public radio around the country? Check out Here and Now. Find it in the same place you found this podcast, wherever you listen. Just search Here and Now.